I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11.
Because these are called pastoral epistles, they do apply to all of us, do they not? It's not just for preachers, it's for God's people, and we'll see that here in just a moment. 2 Timothy, don't turn over there. 2 Timothy 3:16 reads this way. You're familiar with this if you've been in the Lord for any length of time. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed, right? By the Holy Spirit. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, God's going to make sure that all the furniture is there, right? Thoroughly furnished. And we thank the Lord for that. Now to our text, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 reads this way. It says, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given of thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, as your local church here at Northwood Baptist Church. And Lord, we know that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. We don't ever want to forget that. We thank you for your presence this morning and ask, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us, that you might truly be exalted and glorified, and our lives might be empowered to be the witnesses of your great grace. And then, Lord, if there's one or maybe more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them through the Holy Spirit and allow them to see their need, and that today would be the day that they would trust you as their personal Savior if they've not done so. And we'll thank you for that as well. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, These Things Command and Teach. These things command and teach. It's important for the church of God to be empowered by the power of God to be the witness to the world. We don't want to be mediocre Christians, do you? I hope not. I don't want to live a life of mediocrity. I want to live a life that God has given to me. Does God give mediocrity? Is that what God... When God saved you, was that just, oh well, that blah... Just, you know, another day. Or did you rejoice? Were you taken by the eternal life that God had given you? And then maybe this, and it was in front of you more than once. Amen? You step back and you heard it before, but you never experienced it until you personally received the Lord as your Savior. And oh, what a day that was. Amen? That your sins were washed away. You've now become a joint heir in the family of, in the kingdom of God. Wow. Listen, that is the difference that a relationship with Christ makes, and where a religion really can never suffice. When I say a religion, something that we do ritualistically, that we practice habitually, that really doesn't do anything for us. And that's not the relationship that God wants to have with his people. We're just going to look at two thoughts this morning, and that is simply what the Holy Spirit says about the latter times, and then what the Holy Spirit says about a good minister. That's important to know what a good minister is about. And by the way, all this also applies to every one of God's children. We've just read where all Scripture is given to us by the inspiration of God for our good, right? For all of the things that build up our faith. So I don't want you to look at this as something that was given to Timothy. I want you to know that this is something that's given to God's people to constantly be reminded of. And why would we constantly need to be reminded of the things of God? Because we've got three fronts that are fighting us. We've got our old flesh, amen? It wants to go towards sin. And then we've got the world that definitely does not want to honor the Lord. By the way, if you remember, Jesus said, the world hated me. I want you to know that. The world hates me. And if it hated me, guess who else it's going to hate? My people, you. Right, right. And so we have that. And then we have the devil. Old Scratch himself. No, Satan himself. Amen? He is after. He is a deceiver. And he's a destroyer. He wants to destroy, yes, and he is the father of lies. And we don't want to be, we don't want to have any part with that. So this morning, all that being said, let me ask you this morning, do you want to hear from the Lord? Okay, that was about maybe half of us. Do you really want to hear from the Lord? All right. Now let me ask you this. Do you want the Lord to build your faith? Yes. Yeah? Okay, do you want him to work in your life? Yes. Do you want him to be real every day? Yes. Isn't that amazing? Listen, that has to be there or we don't move forward in the Lord. Listen, you have to be a believer that God exists and he saved you, and that he is a rewarder also of them that diligently seek the Lord. But here's what we do, ready? Yes, Lord, work in my life. And then all of a sudden, the moment he starts working in our lives, we start complaining. Amen? Because you know how he works through our lives? Trials, temptations, people. We start complaining. We don't see the Lord in those things. We see the individual or the circumstance. And we miss the Lord completely. No, you did notice I did say we, right? I want you to know I'm in that same boat. Amen? So we've got to be... And we've got to allow the Lord to bring us to the place, listen, to we don't see, in the trial, we don't see the circumstance or the situation. We see the Lord working in our lives. Because then we're going to be a little bit more submissive. Amen? This is the Lord. I asked Him to work. By the way, listen, how many of you have already conquered everything that there needs to be conquered with patience? You're no longer anymore impatient. So we need help with patience, do we not? So the next time God sends something your way to try your patience, we need to be reminded by the grace of God, that's the Lord working on me. Patience the Lord might allow somebody to come into your life that you're going to need patience for. Amen? And so here's the thing. We need to see the Lord, and we ought to ask the Lord every day, Lord, help me to see. We would see Jesus. Amen? We want to see Jesus even in the midst of those who are rubbing the rough edges off of our lives. Did you get that? Rubbing the rough edges. See, so much we look at other people and say, we say stuff like that. Well, my goodness, I can't believe that person. Well, that might be true of that person, but I want you to understand something. The Lord allowed that person into your life to refine you. And here's another one. Ready? And they call themselves a Christian. Well, hey, listen, look in the mirror. We have our own failures and flaws, and God is wanting to work on those. But in order for that to take place, we need to be able, and by the way, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, bring me to the place to where I see you working in my life. God is not saying, okay, now this is what you need to do. What He's asking us is to call on Him that He might show us the way to go. See, God is not asking you, okay, listen, you'll never find this in the Bible. You just rededicate yourself and you just try harder to be what God created you to be. But you will say, not by my power, but by God's power. Amen? Not in our strength, but in God's strength. And so in order to do that, we have to come to the place to where we say, Lord, I need you to show me this. I need you to do this work in me because I get it wrong when I do it my way. I see my circumstance and I get upset with my circumstance if it's not going the way I want it to. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever been there? Listen, I don't see you working in my life. I see somebody that's just pestering me or trying my patience. I don't see you, Lord, and I need to see you. And when I see you, then I also need you, listen, not just to know it's you, but also to know that your strength is in me that you want to use that will grant me bear your fruit, right, in my life. Your patience, not mine. I have patience. It doesn't go very far. But God's patience, you can keep pushing on it, and there's no end to it. And we love the Lord for that. So let's consider some things here this morning concerning what the Holy Spirit is saying about the latter times. Look at verse 1. Now the Spirit of chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. So we do know it's the Holy Spirit, right? Here's what He says. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's amazing. Some are going to depart from the faith. Do not be surprised when people don't want to follow what the Bible is saying. The world will tell you what the Bible says. And here's what the world will say. Just throw it out. The world will say, oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do those things don't matter. Those things are not important. You just serve yourself. You just be God yourself. And that's exactly the lie of the devil. And so when we consider this, some are going to be falling away in the latter times. They're going to depart from the faith. That means they have walked in the faith. That means they believed the faith to a certain degree. And why they're going to depart, listen, to whom shall we go? Where are you going to go from here? If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, tell me what, pray tell, is better than faith in Christ, who has given to us everything and did everything for us, and we don't... Listen, every other religion, I'm not even going to call it faith, every other religion has you doing something. And here's the truth, we will never do enough because our righteousness and our good is no good at all before God. The Bible says that our righteousness, did you get that? Not our evil, not our wickedness, not our failures. Listen, our right, and that doesn't change at the point of salvation. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. He was saying that through the prophet Isaiah. And why does he say that? Because God is not wanting to perform our righteousness. God is wanting to give us his righteousness. And that's what's acceptable before the Lord. That's a concept that will cause people to depart from the faith, because they'll be picking up this heavy load that they think, I've got to do this. And they wonder why they're failing. And that is because God won't share his glory with anybody else. You can only have eternal life by the finished work that's already taken place of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can have eternal life. And by the way, the only way that you will have good success in that new life is also by the finished work of Jesus. It's finished. It doesn't have to be done. It's already done. You don't have to, listen, this might offend some people. You don't have to pray it through. You ever heard people say that? Well, you just sit there and you pray it through. For what? It's already been given. It's already been purchased. You're asking God. It's like if a teacup could talk, and it would ask the Lord, "Make me a teacup, Lord. Make me a teacup." You're already a teacup. And by the way, Lord, empower my life. Are you indwelt with the Holy Spirit? Is that the power from on high? Well, what are you asking him for? We need understanding is what we need. Lord, help me to understand that you've already given to me everything I will ever need in the person of your Son as my Savior and the indwelling Holy Spirit. We've got it all. And so some are going to depart. Notice this from the faith: giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what a doctrine of devil is? It's something that is contrary to the Word of God. When people say, "Oh, listen, you are what you think you are." That's what they say in a nutshell today, right? If you want to be a... Some people think they're cats. And there was one guy that had plastic surgery to make himself look like a cat. He had his teeth filed the whole nine yards, tattoos all, you know, to make himself look like a cat. And he ended up committing suicide. Is it any wonder there was something mentally wrong with him, and he was looking for answers, and everybody was pacifying him and accepting him? Oh yeah, sure, if that's what you think you are. No, it's not what he was. God created him to be a man, but he was on self-destruct mode because he was believing the doctrine of devils. Question, are there doctrine of devils out there today? And they're not helping anybody. They're destroying their lives. And so, listen, you and I cannot fall into that camp. We are not following what the world is saying. We are following, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, of what God has already said and established. And so, he says they're going to fall for these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Look at verse 2 with me. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. You ever see that? They say, oh, listen, we just love everybody until you cross my path. We just love everybody until you say I'm wrong. Well, that's not love at all, is it? We just love you. That's baloney. Baloney. And it's a shame for God's people to get taken by that, because maybe we have somebody that's caught up that we love into that lifestyle or into that philosophy. Or better yet, really, it's an ideology and that's it. May we not be given to ideology. May we buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. Don't sell it out. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Let me let you understand what that means. When you sear a steak, you put it on a hot fire. And you are going to blacken both sides of it. And the reason for that is you're going to seal all the juices inside. Sounds good, doesn't it? Is it lunchtime? Here it is, ready? But here's the problem with that. It's good for a steak, but not for our minds. Because what that means is nothing gets in and nothing gets out. And you don't want to have your conscience seared with a hot iron. You don't want that to take place. We might call it cauterizing, right? And then notice what happens because of that. Because of this seared conscience, God says it goes on. And by the way, listen, to reject the things that God has called us to receive when our conscience is seared. Listen to this. This is going to come. This is going to take place. I don't think it's happened yet, but we find already the perversion of what God instituted as marriage, do we not? Let me say that again. We already see the perversion of taking place of what God calls marriage. By the way, I want you to know it's not man's idea. It was God's from the very beginning. I don't have to be ashamed or fear what man might do. I ought to fear our Almighty God and our Creator, who everyone will stand before one day, not just for this life, but for all eternity. We ought to have more fear for the truth. And this is what's going to come down the pike. It hadn't happened yet, maybe to some degree, but not like it's going to. Verse 3, forbidding to marry. See, it's going to get so out of whack. They're called, marry whatever you want. Before long, listen, everything is so twisted and so perverted and so out of sorts today. But the crazy thing is, I don't think it's gotten to where it's going to go. Because the Bible says they're going to forbid to marry. They're already calling evil good and good evil. They're already there. Remember when we used to preach about that? And we weren't quite there yet, but I think we're already there. And here's what's going to happen. Listen, the children of God, if they're not careful, they'll succumb to that. Our loyalty needs to be to Christ. God is giving us a warning here saying, guard your heart. Be careful what you're listening to because it's going to influence you. And you don't want it to take you down the wrong path. So he says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received. Listen, God hath created. I'm going to listen to God before I'm going to listen to man. Amen. And it's incumbent really upon the believer to solidify that in their hearts and minds. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You're either going to serve God or mankind. And man left to himself is of his father, the devil. So we're going to make a choice. We're either going to choose to follow God and his righteousness, or we're going to follow what we think or how I feel. Well, listen, nobody should ever, may you never say this, well, I know how I feel. How many of you feel good one day and not good the next day? Feelings change. How many of you are happy one day and not happy another day? And so be careful about how we feel, because that's going to take us down the wrong path. But listen to what God says here. He says in verse 3, and commanding to abstain from meats, listen, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So the world's going to be going one way, and God's people are going to be praising the Lord and having their steak. Amen? Praising the Lord and giving thanks. Thank you, God. It's kind of like, I don't know, this lady was so determined to tell everybody that she was so proud of her dog. It was a vegan dog. She does not eat meat. She was so proud. And so she said she put a pile of meat and a pile of her vegan dog food there. And she said, "Now I'm going to show you." And she posted the thing. And guess where the dog? Bessie, what are you doing? Went running after the meat. You know why? Because that's not the way the Lord created it. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with abstaining from meat if you need to do it for health reasons. But that is not the norm. Amen? Right. Obviously, if it's for health reasons, something is not right. And so, God did not create things to be abstained from that he says is to be received with thanksgiving. And so be careful about that and don't let the world mislead you. Look at verse 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Don't you like that? Now listen. So he is saying be careful about this. This is what's going to be taking place in the latter times. I think we're in the latter times. To what degree, I don't know. I don't know. God says, occupy until I come. That keep yourself busy, plan for your life, but also be ready. Don't be so driven into this world that you forget your God. Have your relationship with the Lord, and He wants you to have a full life. He wants you to occupy. He's the one that said it, not me, till I come. In other words, be about daily life, but make sure that the Lord is incorporated in there, because that's the truth. That's the light and the salt of the world that God wants us to walk in, so that those who are without can see the truth. Now, I want you to see what the Holy Spirit says about a good minister. And a good minister is important. And the reason being for that is because the sheep of God will not be well fed if the minister is not a good minister. Listen, nor will they be protected from predators. And so when you consider sheep, I had the privilege and experience of having, how many we have? Five sheep, I think we had at one time. And here's what they will do. They will eat, and if you know anything, they will eat until there's no grass left. They will eat. If you take them into bad pastures where there's sand or where there's soil, what they will do is they will eat what little grass there is there, and they're going to get the sand, the dirt, all in their teeth. And what's going to happen is they're going to file their teeth. There's pictures of it where they'll look like vampire teeth, all of them. Well, in the front, and top and bottom. And if you can imagine, two points coming together is not going to be able to get the grass very good. So they will ruin their teeth, that will also ruin the future of the nutrients that they will be able to take in. Likewise, listen, can this happen? Can a child of God be bamboozled, be hoodwinked, be deceived into believing a lie? They can. To their own demise and destruction. Listen, David lied to himself when he sinned with Bathsheba. Samson lied to himself when he thought he could betray the Lord and go out like he did before. And the Bible says this, he wist not that the Holy Spirit had departed from him. Wow. You and I in the New Testament side, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And we need to be careful about that. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Did you see what the focus is? Good doctrine. Did you see that? Listen, we need to be careful, because here's what's really important. Are you listening to me? This is very important. This is it. Ready? How you and how I will stand before our God one day. Not how the church, you're part of the church, you're part of the body of Christ, but you are, and I am going to give an account one day for my life. You will give an account one day by yourself for your life. So what's really important is your personal growth in your relationship with your Savior. The church can be doing all kinds of wonderful things, but listen, there could be God's people in that church that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or what God is wanting them to be doing. And so it's important, because I say that because it's so easy to say, oh, the church is doing everything right, or this is what I think the church ought to be doing. I want you to know that God, through the Holy Spirit, zeroed in and said, this is what's important, the good doctrine, right, that you'll be able to influence people by. And by the way, the Bible does tell us that not only are we new creatures in Christ, but we're also ministers of reconciliation. So everybody in here has a part in the ministry and in the same grace as the Apostle Paul that was given to all of us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is important. So again, listen. Notice what he says here in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Is godliness important? Listen, only you know where you stand with God and where God wants to take you concerning the godliness in your life. God is not asking us to do it ourselves, but to ask Him to do it through us and for us. That's the truth. Verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. You know why? Because that's the working of God in the life of an individual. Listen to this. It's profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that is which to come. Did you hear that? This power of God, this godliness that he's talking about, is the promise of the life that now is, in verse 8, and that is which that is to come. That which is to come. So he's telling us there's a life for you and I to have now. That life that Paul said, oh, listen, for me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Do you think Paul understood that it wasn't of him? Remember when the Corinthian church started saying, ooh, Paul, ooh, Apollos, ooh, Peter. And then you had this really elect group over here that thought they were really something. Only Jesus. We only hear from him. And Paul says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? And who's Peter? They're ministers that have been blessed by God to share the truth. There's nothing in them. And Paul said, man, I am so glad that I didn't baptize any of you save one family, the family Stephanus, maybe, I think it was. And that was it. Paul was saying, you guys are making big of the wrong things. And by the way, just to remind us, that was a church of God that he was addressing. They had gone awry in the wrong direction. Ready? Look at verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust the living God. Listen, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. That's an important truth there. Did the Word of God just say that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all mankind? You mean to tell me he didn't just die for some and not others like you hear today? Oh, listen, there's some people that are just going to get saved and they can't help themselves. Really? There are some people that can't get saved and they're just doomed for eternal death and hell. That's what God created them for. No. Listen to what the Bible says. Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. That's important. God is not willing that any should perish. For God so loved the world, not just a group of people in the world, the whole world. And he gave us his Son. So notice this. These things, verse 11, command and teach. We're teaching these things today, right? And I'm telling you, and you know it to be true, these are the commandments of God. Verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now listen, don't look at this and just say, well, that was just intended for Timothy. No, all scripture, right? So listen to this. Listen, he says, let no man despise thy youth. I'm not there either. Amen. Okay. You can look at this. Maybe when I was younger in my ministry, I'd say, oh boy, I hope they don't despise my youth. But here's the thing. Listen, he's saying this. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. That's for you and me. That's not just for the preacher. How? How are we to be examples? In word. In word. Not just in what we say, but listen, in how we say it. We can say things that are right in a bad spirit, can we not? In word, listen, in conversation. I thought he just said in word. Conversation is our manner of lifestyle, the way that we live our life, right? That it might honor and glorify the Lord. In charity, that's love. In spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So this is what was done to a young preacher who was going to pastor, and they would ask God's blessings on him. And so this is what happened here, and the Lord would honor that. And we still do that today during an ordination service. That's what we call being ordained. And the older men of God would come, and they would lay hands and ask God's blessings to be on that individual for the ministry and for the glory of God. And so God is asking you and I also to be careful about our own manner of lifestyle, because you've also been blessed and indwelt with the same power of the Holy Spirit. And we've been given the calling of being ministers of reconciliation, of pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not necessarily a pastor, but we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. And so here we find the battle taking place here. He says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." And by the way, question. Has the believer been given a gift that's inside? That's the Holy Spirit. How dependent? Do you think the Holy Spirit is neglected today? Okay, let me ask you this question. Is the Holy Spirit the power source of the believer?
Amen.
It is. You believe that without a doubt. That's the power source. Whose power is that? Wow. What a gift. What a gift has been given. Now, forgive me, this is my opinion, this is my conjecture. I'm not saying God's done with his church, I don't think he is. But I think his church has neglected the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why do you say that, Brother George? Look at our society. Look at our society. And the church, if we're not careful, has become a circus. Instead of focusing in on what God is saying concerning doctrine, truth, conversation, words, the charity, the love of God. We're worried about all these other things and ideas, and I'm not saying that they don't have their place to draw crowds. I'm not against programs. I'm not against having functions. But what I'm saying is we have to take an examination of the church. Listen, churches will come and go if they're built upon physical things. They will not stand. And the reason for that is because it's not of the Lord. Because if we come up with some kind of great scheme to bring people in, who are we going to thank for? But if we stick to the preaching of the Word of God, and because God said, who's going to build the church? He's going to build it. And so it's incumbent upon us to stand on the truth and to preach the truth. And to guard what God says is important. But if we're not careful, we'll become like Sarah and Abraham going to Hagar. Going to the world for ideas and how they draw people in. Well, that's how they do it. Well, listen, that's the world. It's not what God says we're to do. I'm not making that up. This is what God is telling us. And so he says, verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. That means to think about these things, right? Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Take heed unto thyself, not unto the church program. But God is saying, you are personally responsible before your God. And this is what's important, that you are personally right. And by the way, here's the wonderful thing about it. We enjoy the blessings of God. When we take heed, Lord, I'm looking at my life and I don't see my patience and I don't see the love of God in me. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever walked a day and did not have the love of God? You had your love. You loved what you loved. But the moment somebody crossed that, you know, they didn't see it, but the fangs were out. And that's how we all are without God. And so he says, meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So we need to evaluate what is my power source? Is it just me? Because that's short-lived. In other words, I can be patient for so long. Right? And then that's it. And then they're just going to see me, and me is there's nothing good in me, is there? There's no good thing in me. Even my good is not good at all in the sight of God. I believe that wholeheartedly. And so God says, do you really want me to work in your life? Are you really ready to see all these things that are coming for me? Because I want you to know something. That is a revelation in and of itself, and that will give us a whole different look at it. And the complaining will have to stop. The backbiting and the tearing down and all this other stuff will have to be received if we believe that God is bringing that into our lives to make us more like Him. Listen, everybody in this room has complained. Everybody in this room has said things they wish they would have never said. God has saved us from that. But the power is not in us. The power is in Him. And so He says, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Have you arrived in your relationship with Christ to the place where you are a royal priesthood and holy before God? We need work, don't we? And we ought to press toward that mark. And the only reason why I ask is, have you arrived? Is because if we're not striving for that, what are we thinking? We've arrived. Oh no, here's what we do. This is even worse. Ready? Well, I'm just not perfect. Who doesn't know that? Jesus knew that before He died for us. But He died for us to make us like Him. Jesus said, more works than what I did will you do. So who's got it wrong? If we've come to the place to where we're saying, after all, I can't do that. Who are you looking at? Not God. You're looking at yourself. And you'll come to that. I come to that same conclusion every time I look to myself. I can't do that. That's the truth. But God is not asking us to do that. God is asking us to ask Him to do it through us. And this is a truth that will revolutionize and flip the church upside down for the glory of God, that will turn the world upside down for the glory of God, if we'll realize and we'll see how much we need Him. Last thoughts, ready? Again, 15 and 16, we're done. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. Did you see that? Look to yourself. And unto the doctrine. Consider these truths. Are they in your life? Continue in them. Are you walking in them? If not, God is not asking you to try harder. He's asking you to ask Him to do it through you. That's what brings Him glory. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. And by the way, was Timothy saved? What's he talking about? Of course he's saved. What's he talking about? A change of life on this side. See? If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are trusting in the blood of Christ alone, are you eternally secure? You are. You are. I'm not trying to scare you. You are. You're saved if you trusted in Him. But does that mean that you're going to live like Him? Or He's going to live through you? Here's what the world doesn't like. Can you live like the world and still go to heaven as a saved child of God? Not trying to trick you. Did David lose his salvation when he sinned with Bathsheba? No, he didn't. Was he a miserable man? Oh boy, was he miserable. But he would have still went to heaven, wouldn't he? He would have still gone to heaven. But see, that was not the saving of his life. The saving of his life on earth. The salvaging, the saving, the empowering of the life that's in Christ to the believer. That's what he's talking about. Not eternal salvation. Not being born again. But the redemption of our lives here on earth. And let's finish. Ready? 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. Listen to this. And them that hear thee. If you and I are walking in such a way that the power of God is in our life, That means Christ is being lifted up in your life and mine. Does it not? Listen to the promise. If Christ is lifted up, He said He would draw all men to Himself. So here's the question for you, between you and the Lord. You've heard the truth. please, what are you going to do with it? Where do I start? Here it is. Help me, God. You don't have to take on the whole, Lord, lead me in what you would I want you to empower my life, and I want to see your love and your patience and the fruits of your spirit in my life. You've got to want that. God will take you down his path. You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about it. God says, I will lead you. If you call on me, I'll answer and show you great and mighty things. God, listen, this life is life indeed. This life that God is talking about is really life indeed. Where he says, I've got meat to eat of that the world doesn't know about. But you can't do it as a church. Uh-uh. You have to do it for yourself. Just like you did your salvation, you have to be willing to say, God, I want you. I want you in this. And so the invitation is the Lord's. The choice is ours. It is a choice. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that you've given to us today. And Lord, the opportunity to choose this day what we want from you, that you've already promised, that you've already given, that we might experience, Lord, by your power and grace to those who know you as Savior. Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance, only you can speak to their hearts. Help them to see their need. And Lord, I would be glad to show them what they must do from your word to receive and have eternal life, that they might be born again and have eternal life that you've paid for. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.